Now, can you believe it's been 50 years since we first heard this? Yes. Oh, gosh. The second time I played this morning, and each time I'm scared. But yeah, 50 years since Jaws hit cinema screens, and the ripple effects of that movie are still being felt today. It obviously thrilled audiences and changed the face of blockbuster filmmaking, but it did something else. It rewired the public's perception of sharks, especially the great white shark. Just overnight, this ancient predator was recast as a villain, an indiscriminate killer that lurks beneath the surface waiting to strike. And it's led to real-world consequences, and a lot of them very negative. Carl's shark hunts and a sharp rise in public fear. I'm scared of most things, and sometimes, and I'm sure I'll be proved wrong, or at least I'm more fearful than what the level of risk warrants. But it's given a sharp rise in public fear generally, but as marine scientists now tell us, that portrayal was more fiction than fact. We know a lot more about great white sharks now and how intelligent, complex, and ecologically vital they are, but Jaws still looms large. So on this 50th anniversary, to help us explore how one film has changed the course of shark science as much as it has, I'm pleased to say, we're joined by Professor John Long. He's a strategic professor in paleontology at Flinders University and the author of The Secret History of Sharks. And I'm pleased to say he's on the line. Professor Long, thanks for making the time this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Nelson.
Where were you when you first watched Jaws? Do you remember? Did that discover your desire to go into paleontology?
It scared the hell out of me. I was always scared of sharks growing up in Melbourne with, you know, beaches and shark attacks. They're pretty rare these days, obviously, and but, you know, the population of sharks was kind of different before Jaws, as it is now. But, yeah, I've always had a fear of sharks, but in researching fossil sharks and the history of sharks, which is what I've been doing as an academic, I've learned a lot about them. And you know, the other side to sharks is that as terrifying as they are, they're actually one of nature's great examples of ultimate survivors that, you know, have been around on Earth for over 460 million years.
Wow.
They're older than insects.
Really?
They're older than trees. And get this, they're even older than the rings of Saturn. So that's how far back sharks go in time. And they've survived all five of Earth's major mass extinction events that, you know, one of those events wiped out the dinosaurs. And
that is incredible.
Every group of animals on the planet has had some sort of, you know,
Why is it they've had this longevity? What is it in their genetic makeup? Or,
well, the longevity is really about the group, you know, the shark group, because they've been around for such a long time. They just evolved at an early stage of our oceans. And, you know, they've had to contend with lots of competition. That's the thing. They weren't always the top dogs in our oceans.
Yes.
Like we see them today as apex predators. You know, back in the age of dinosaurs, they had to contend with these gigantic marine reptiles, some of them 20 metres long, you know, like Australia's Kronosaurus, which was probably about 12 to 13 metres long. These giant reptiles that, you know, with banana-sized teeth, you know, sharks were definitely secondary predators back in those days. But today, sharks still fascinate people.
And certainly.
We're learning so much more about them that, you know, That's the most important thing, that we're actually studying them and learning about their populations.
Well, it seems they've had a lot more success in surviving than the Cronulla Sharks in the rugby league, who have been notoriously unsuccessful for a long time. And then, of course, we come to Jaws 50 years ago.
Yeah.
What was the public perception like prior to that movie, and what changed?
People didn't really think a lot about shark attacks. They were always there and they were always a risk. Jaws created the illusion of the rogue shark, that a shark would go out of its way to hunt down humans, which is just nonsense. I mean, in the history of white shark attacks, there's never been one proven case of a white shark attacking more than one human, like coming back and stalking an area. They are territorial, but they tend to hang around where there are big seal colonies and, you know, the things that they eat in nature. And they migrate vast distances, up to 20,000 kilometres in a year. So because of that, they're always on the move from one feeding ground to another when, you know, a certain kind of resource, like whether it be fish or seals or a particular kind of prey they like is at its peak, then they move around and go to those sort of feeding grounds.
Yeah. And the shark in the movie is large and to a size that I don't think it exists, at least in at this point in time.
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, the average size for a white shark is between 3.7 and 4 metres. That's average size when you know, during a lifespan. But the maximum size is up to 6 metres. But the shark in Jaws was actually 6 metres in the book by Peter Benchley. But then when they made the film, they upped it to 7.6 metres. And if you increase the length of a shark by 1 or 2 metres, the girth and the weight goes up exponentially, you know, way more. So they created a monster that really never existed in nature for Jaws. And, of course, in the sequel movies, they made the sharks even bigger. So, yeah, that's what put the fear and the terror into people. It was the sheer size of that thing.
Yeah. And it's funny, in Australia, where you would think sharks had, you know, we've got a fair few of them, particularly if you're in Perth, but yet that movie had such an effect. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Perth for almost 20 years. I used to work in the museum there. And I was there when there were some terrible fatal attacks on some of the beaches, you know, back 20 years ago. There is this thing that people do get attacked, or not attacked, they have a negative encounter with the shark, as we like to call it. The shark doesn't attack, it involves aggression and an intent. And a shark is just searching the waters for food. And if a person happens to be there and they go in and they take a bite, and the amazing thing about sharks is they have all these amazing superpowers, which I talk about in my book. For example, they have taste buds behind their teeth so that when they chomp on something, they actually taste what they're chomping into. And quite often attacks or so-called attacks on people are just where they're in a negative encounter with a shark that chomps on them and, you know, they die from that single bite. Occasionally they will come back and feed on a person. But that's quite rare, but it has happened, of course, in the past.
The movie Jaws had a big impact on shark populations, and there was an increase in culling and other things?
Huge. In the North Atlantic, the ground zero for the movie Jaws, because it was filmed around Martha's Vineyard, you know, off the New York, off the East Coast, shark populations declined by up to 80 to 90% in the 10 years after the Jaws movie was first released. There was a lot of culling and killing and frenzied, non-thinkable killing of sharks. But we knew nothing about their biology at that time. That was the amazing thing. I mean, we've only learnt recently from studying sharks that white sharks take 26 to 31 years to sexually mature. So they can't even reproduce till about, you know, 30 years of age kind of thing.
Wow.
And then while some sharks can have huge numbers of pups when they give birth, like take a whale shark, for instance, they can give birth to up to 300 baby sharks. But the white shark only gives birth to 4 to 6 kind of pups at the most. One that was caught off Queensland recently on a drum line was a 5.5-metre female, had 4 pups inside her. So at that sort of long time to sexually mature and a very low rate of birth, pups, it takes a hell of a long time for that population to recover. So they haven't quite fully recovered from pre-Jaws populations.
Wow. So do they stay in a form of puberty until that point if they don't become sexually mature until 26?
Well, sexually mature biologically means reaching puberty.
Of course,
and being able to reproduce. Take the Greenland shark, though. The Greenland shark lives to up to 500 years. And they've only recently discovered this from analysing the proteins in the eye lens, where they could actually do carbon dating on the carbon elements in that particular those proteins. And they found that there's Greenland sharks that they're living for 400 years, but they have a plus or minus of 100 years on the dating. So potentially one shark can live for 500 years, That's a hell of a long time. They take 150 years to reach puberty.
Wow. That's like Old Testament numbers. That's
a long time to wait for your whiskers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's like a forever adolescence. So that sounds amazing.
But the amazing thing, if I can just go back to white sharks again and the comparison with the Greenland shark, is we've only just learned about their DNA as well. And they have complex DNA, like what's called the genome, is way larger than a human genome in terms of the number of genes in the DNA. And so because they've been around for so long, for so many hundreds of millions of years, they've accumulated massive amounts of genes that we know nothing about some of these genes. So huge potential for sharks to produce cures for diseases because of their, amazing genetics.
Wow. Obviously, the jaws hurt the image of sharks, but did that spark a wave of scientific interest as well and lead to some of these discoveries you're talking about now?
Yeah, whenever there's an animal or a creature out there that becomes fascinated by the human psyche, there's always a lot of research done in it because, for example, sharks, when people fear sharks, they want to know more about them. They want to know, well, how often are these sharks in these waters? Where do they breed, for example? There's been lots of shark attacks around Byron Bay, for example, and we now know that area around north of Port Stephens is actually a white shark nursery where they breed. And many of the attacks are done from juvenile sharks that are quite small. But, you know, when you're born at something like 4 foot long, 4 to 5 feet long, then you're already kind of a menacing size to a human.
Getting
back, what was the question again about the...
Oh, just said how jaws helped shift our understanding of sharks. Too much time, so I'm just going to ask. Sydney, we've got a long history with shark management, things like netting, culling, and now drone surveillance. What do you think are the most effective or ethical approaches to balancing public safety and conservation?
That's a very good question. I think just vigilant watching of the waters, drones would help. In the old days, shark planes used to fly over and they could spot them. I don't believe in netting or drum lining because too many other creatures are caught. And, you know, the reality is fatal shark attacks are incredibly rare. And, you know, people go out surfing with them all the time. And, you know, there's what on the shark attack list for the world, it was like 10 fatalities last year or something like that, of which 4 or 5 were in Australia. So we have a huge share of that world share of shark fatalities. So there's a greater fear and a greater respect for them in Australia. But still, it's incredibly rare to be, killed by a shark.
Certainly. And before I let you go, can you quell an old wives' tale for me, or potentially it is true, but you often hear that sharks don't like the taste of humans. Is that true?
I couldn't answer that. They don't like the taste of wetsuits, but they'd certainly eat anything if they're hungry enough. And in my book, The Secret History of Sharks, I do talk a lot about shark behaviour, and there's a whole chapter on white sharks, actually, based on the latest scientific research, if people are interested.
Okay, fantastic. John Long, thank you so much for making the time this morning, and I wish we had more time.
Well, we're always... revisit it again sometimes, Nelson.
I would love to. That's John Long, Strategic Professor in Paleontology at Flinders University and the author of The Secret History of Sharks, which is out now.